Good morning, teacher. For one of you, greetings in Jesus' name. It's very obvious that our thoughts have been towards the passing of Keith Crowder. And I've been reading a book, Why Bad Things Happen, and I was reading the book prior to Brother Keith's passing, and after he passed, I started to look back through some of the things that I had read. And as I read some of this stuff, there's some things that cause questions in my mind, some of the writer's thoughts and ideas. And so, you know, I went to Scripture. This is a little bit a springboard from my morning devotions at Berea last Monday. So for some of you that were at Berea, you may hear some similar thoughts, but you're not going to hear all because it's a little more expansive. But I wanted to start out with a story of a happening. This may not have happened to you, but something similar may have happened to you. And there are other people in this world that have probably experienced something very, very similar to this. And this is the writer writing from his personal experience. Numb with terror, I placed the limp body of my only son on the kitchen table. I laid my shaking hands on him and cried, "Oh God, we need a miracle. God, give us a miracle. Heal Winston, we need him." Crying and praying. In fear, my wife and daughter stood around while I frantically gave Winston CPR. But the minutes ticked by, and he didn't respond. Finally, we gave up, and only those who had given up can know the impact of those words. Dreadful, awful, terrible death. Cutting, tearing, dividing death. Dark, remorseless, merciless death. Sometimes we view death as a blessed release, especially when a loved one is suffering pain and disease. And we see older people and those that are struck with disease, sometimes they suffer and linger and linger, and we wish that they could go on. Sometimes a sufferer is separated from blissful union with God only by a heart that keeps on beating, locking them into a painful earthly existence when all they want is to be released. Indeed, released from suffering is a blessing. But the only reason death can be a blessed release is because it frees us from its own effects in our lives. Disease, pain, sickness. These are process of death working on us. We want to die only to escape the effects of death. Were we able to live the beautiful, pain-free, and sin-free life that God intended in the garden, we would never long for death. And yet cruel, malicious death, imprisoning us in a life of hurt and pain, sapping us away as we grow old and feeble, debilitating all of us, while occasionally snatching one of us away in the prime of life. One way or another, death teases us, threatens us, buffets us, and then finally destroys our physical life. But death is not our only problem. Many grievous things happen in this world, and some of them are worse than death. When once faithful Christians apostatize, that is worse than death. When our children live in sin, that is worse than death. More often, the many small problems of daily life perplex our faith. We finally think we are ready to make some headway on our property, and a hospital bill comes. And then it mentions some other things. We wake up with a headache, the baby is crying, and we try to make breakfast. If God loves me, wouldn't he at least make my toaster work? Doesn't he know I was awake half the night with my crying child? When everything is going wrong, does he really care? If he really sees every sparrow fall, surely he can keep the milk from spilling on the table just this once. Why do bad things happen? Was it God's will that Keith stepped on that skylight and fell to his death? Is it God's will that people get sick and suffer and pass into eternity? Is it God's will for a young person to be driving down the road and be hurled into eternity because of a small miscalculation on a turn? Is it God's will that anything bad happens? I want you to think about that. We all know God is good. But as our brother shared, God is sovereign, and He knows all things. But bad things happen because of sin. And where did sin come from? Sin was born in the heart of one of God's created. And I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Ezekiel. So I want to share a couple of verses about this created being, Lucifer, Satan. And then we're going to move on to the life of the righteous and those of the wicked. In Ezekiel 28, we're going to be in Ezekiel just a little bit, and then we're going to turn back to Isaiah chapter 14. Ezekiel 28, starting at verse 14, it says, "Thou art the anointed cherub." Excuse me. "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth." This word "covereth" means to hover over or protect. "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked upon up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thine beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before the kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore, will I bring forth fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more." God created this cherub, this protector. And yet, because sin was found in him through pride, he was cast down. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, starting in verse 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." We know that sin entered this world by the choice of Adam and Eve. But sin originated in the heavens, in the heart of this cherub created of God. And I would think that this created angelic being would have been the first to acknowledge God as creator and to bow down to the Most Holy, the Most High. and yet because of pride, because he wanted to be like the Most High, he was cast down. But like this created being, we also are created beings. And apart from Christ, apart from a relationship with God, the God of creation, we too would be and are in bondage to sin and the evils that accompany it. However, we know the Scripture teaches that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And I want you to turn with me to Psalm 37. And these are some of the verses, except I have expanded them a bit. These are some of the verses that I shared at chapel. So I'm going to be reading this complete psalm, and it's quite a few verses. But I want you to stick with me, because we're going to be looking at certain ones of these verses. A psalm of David, Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. But look at some of these words in these next couple of verses. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And as we look back at those verses, it is saying for us to trust, to delight, to commit, and to rest. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself anywise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. I want to read that verse again. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And it was shared in our Sunday school class that our brother that passed said that when he retires, he would like to retire with no pomp and circumstance, no big ado, a life of a servant. Verse 12, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be upright of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. Verse 18 is kind of the theme verse that stood out to me as I prepared for the devotional and for this message. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. And then on down in verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Verse 34. Wait on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passes away, he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Verse 37, mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed. The transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Why do bad things happen? Why do the wicked prosper? Why do we see this time and time and time again? Bad things happen because of sin. Because sin entered into this world. Evil things happen because of evil men that have given themselves to sin. But it says in these verses, God watches over a good man. His steps are ordered by the Lord. God knows what is best for you individually. He knows what is best for the passing of Keith. And as someone shared, they were speaking with a young man in Guatemala that had gone away from the Lord. And from what I understand, this young man had a lot of respect for what he saw in Brother Keith. And they were able to share that Keith was ready to go. And one of the other men there asked this young man, "So if you were to fall, would you be ready to go?" And he readily admitted that he was not. And so we think, why God? Why couldn't Keith have been allowed to spend more time here on this earth to help others? But you know, if it is for the salvation, for the encouragement, for the help of one soul, wouldn't it be worth it? Because God is sovereign and God uses circumstances for his good, for our good, for his good will. Most of the time, we know what is best. Or let me back up just a little bit. We know that God knows what is best for us. Even though we don't always understand it, even though we don't always recognize why we are going through these tough times, but most of the time, we also know what is best, especially when there are things of our own choosing. We know what we should be choosing to do what is right, but instead, sometimes we cave to the fulfilling of the desires of our flesh. We know that's not God's will. And yet God is sovereign, and we are following after Him. And when those temptations come, what do we do with those temptations? Are those temptations put there by God? I don't think so. We know what God says in His Word in James 1. Let no man say when he is tempted, "I am tempted of God." For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man And this is for each one of us. Every man, every woman is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Oftentimes we think lust as meaning something sexual. But this word lust means a longing for. A longing for something that is forbidden. Something that we desire. Something that we set our heart upon to have. We covet or we lust. And so to paraphrase that verse, every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his longing for what is forbidden. And we see that in the garden, as our brother shared earlier this day. We see the lust and the progression of giving in to the desires of the flesh. And then we see the results of being drawn away and enticed. And we see the final judgment of sin, which is death. In Genesis, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And we know the rest of the story. God came looking for them, walking and calling their name. And they were hiding because they knew that they were naked. And God asked them, "Did you eat from this tree?" And the blame game started. But we read of the final judgment of the serpent being cursed to eat the dust and to have enmity with the woman to have pain in childbirth and to be ruled by her husband. But we also read of the judgment of God upon Adam and upon mankind. In the sweat of thy face, verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. You're going to have to work for your living. It's not just given to you now, but you're going to have to work for your bread. Till thou return into the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. Man was created out of that clay that God shaped and then breathed in the breath of life and put him in that perfect environment. And because of that sin in heaven, and because of that temptation in the garden, and because of that lust that was conceived, sin brought forth death. And man would return to that dust from where he was taken. So for each one of us that is here today, that is listening, death is inevitable. Unless Jesus comes again while we are yet living, death for this physical body is inevitable. Is death a bad thing? Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but then the judgment." We will all face this sometime or another in our lives, unless Jesus comes again. But again, I ask the question, is death a bad thing? We often fear the unknown. And for many of us, death is unknown. We've not faced that. And I don't know if you look forward to death, but for me, there's a certain amount of fear that comes with the passing of this body. But we know through Scripture, through assurance, through faith, through living a life of holiness that we can face death with a clear conscience, that we can face death, yes, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. For the child of God, death is our passage to eternity, to be ever with the Lord. Will we face difficulties along the way? Yeah, we will. We have. And I know our congregation and some of the difficulties that you all have faced along life's way. Yes, we will face those difficulties. There is no doubt. Does God orchestrate each one of those difficulties in life? I think God allows things to happen. I don't know if He actually orchestrates every one, but the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. As we look at Job, we saw that God allowed things to come into his physical life that we would be called, that we would call grievous, that we would call extremely hard. And yet, Job persevered and came through without sin. But we also know that God chastens those whom He loves. In Hebrews 12, it says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." Now, no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So why do bad things happen? Bad things happen because of sin. Because of sin and evil men controlled by Satan. What does lust bring forth? When lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. But what does chastening bring forth? Chastening does not bring forth sin. It does not bring forth temptation, because we know that chastening is of the Lord. It is from the hand of God. It is His refining fire for each one of us. Chastening will not lead you into temptation. God says that in His Word. I read those verses earlier. When we endure chastening, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit. A peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The steps of a good man, they are ordered by the Lord. As you follow Christ, as you live in faith and obedience and holiness, your steps are ordered by the Lord. When we step outside of that, giving in to our own lusts, our own desires, the things that we absolutely know, whether it's right or wrong, we have that sense about us. We have that knowledge instilled in our being. We know right from wrong, as Adam and Eve did. And they chose to disobey. And again, I wanted to read those verses in the first part of Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And then at the end of that psalm, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in Him. And so my prayer for each one of you here today, my prayer and hope is that when bad things happen, when we are tempted, when things don't go just like we think they should, that we trust, that we delight, that we commit, and that we rest in the one who will give us strength in the time of trouble when bad things happen. May the Lord bless you.